We're back on the air. Over the past several months, millions of people have demonstrated across the U.S. demanding that the Sensenbrenner-King bill, also known as H.R. 4437, be thrown out and instead adopt a comprehensive, humane immigration policy. The originally proposed Sensenbrenner-King bill would make all undocumented immigrants aggravated felons, would build more jails for immigrants, and would make anyone who aided an undocumented immigrant or transported her or him within the U.S. an alien smuggler. This could include driving someone to the doctor or driving a coworker home. On the phone with us is Arnaldo Garcia, who I introduced right before the break. Arnaldo, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you doing?
Fine. How's everybody doing?
Everyone's well. Can you give a quick backgrounder about the H.R. 4437 bill before speaking a bit about what's been going on the ground in terms of the mobilizations in the U.S.?
Yeah, this is this legislation has already been approved in the House of Representatives, and it's awaiting its companion bill in the Senate, which is now undergoing another debate. But H.R. 4437 is basically a police bill that would cut the due process rights, the access to the courts of undocumented people. It would also require mandatory detention, expedited deportations of certain people that had committed certain types of misdemeanors. It would also make being undocumented a felony crime. It would also make a felony crime of anybody that served, ministered to, helped, gave a ride to, or employed undocumented workers. So it's probably one of the, and it also includes more border wall building, you know, almost 700 miles of additional border wall, prisons exclusively for immigrants, including using abandoned bases to jail immigrants. It would triple the interior enforcement agents and double the border patrol agents. So it's really a complete, you know, enforcement, lock them up, throw them out, deportation law. And right now in the Senate, the version that's being debated in the Senate is only slightly different, not qualitatively. The major difference is in the Senate version. It includes everything except the felony treatment, but it also includes guest worker provisions. But everything else in the bills, the proposed laws, end up making people being undocumented a felony crime in any case. And the same thing with employers, day labor centers, maybe organizations like us that work with undocumented communities, we would also be criminalized. And it will also reduce the rights of legal permanent residents and of naturalized citizens as well.
Okay.
So it's a bad situation.
Can you speak, it seems clearly from our end of things when we're reading and watching things in the news, the mobilizations, the upsurge has been inspiring in so many ways. And a personal communication to me, you were also mentioning the different kinds of links that are clearly being formed. Can you speak about the links that are being made between different movements, labor movements, migrant rights movements, etc., in building what seems to be something that really is as yet quite new?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the massiveness, of course, of the mobilizations, I think, surprised everyone. But the demands and so forth of the community mobilizations did not, because they're really the product of over 10 years of organizing, demanding a democratic, you know, a reform that includes rights for the undocumented. The other thing that's, I think, a lot of other social justice, racial justice movements, the peace movement, some of the progressive and left movements, I think they were surprised by the massiveness of it. And they are starting to try to figure out, well, how do we interact with this community upsurge? And that's where it gets really beautiful and interesting, because it is a new movement and everybody's trying to name it, right? Is it a new civil rights movement? Is it a new social justice movement? Is it a, you know, what in the heck is this great thing that's happening, right? For example, May Day, which just happened last week. May Day has, as a workers' celebration, has never been, you know, much more than a small forum every year for as long as I remember. And this year, when the community groups chose May Day as the day to do an economic work stoppage, economic boycott and work stoppage, it really took on really how May Day is probably celebrated in other countries as a holiday, but also here as a combative celebration, right? And it really overtook every organization that has usually is out there. So it was very easy, and this is a big problem, because it was very easy for some groups, you know, to put a leaflet and say, we're going to march and congregate here, when the community groups had already chosen that. So it creates a bit of awkwardness, but it really is an incredible blast of energy into all of us about how it makes our work easier, in other words, for our organizations. And the possibilities are not endless because, you know, of the there's already a lot of repression, a lot of deportations, a lot of jailings. In the week before the May Day demonstrations last week, the ICE, the Immigration Customs Enforcement, the Immigration Police led a national raid where they arrested almost 2,000 workers and eight managers and employers of IFCO, a pallet factory that builds pallets. And they did it very purposefully in order to intimidate the communities. And they also did drive-bys right here in Oakland in the Bay Area. You know, the immigration police cars were noticed, but so there was a small panic. But the majority of the communities weren't afraid of that, right? And I think that it really is challenging all organizations, all movements about how relevant is their agenda and their work to this upsurge. In other words, whether it's environmentalists or progressives or the labor movement, particularly because they've had a very hard time where there's a rank and file and some of the locals, you know, support the economic boycott and work stoppage. The internationals did not because, you know, they were saying, well, we have contractual obligations. And here the rank and file are saying, you know, it's the workers out there in the streets and we're supposed to organize the workers. So it's putting up all these, you know, these new and exciting challenges to all our organizations about how are we going to develop relationships and how are we going to transform some of this energy into an agenda that really goes beyond just the immigrant rights piece right now.
Mm-hmm. It's we're running short on time. I just feel I'm regretting the fact that we're not able to have a longer discussion because the things that you're mentioning now are probably the real crux of discussion for organizing for people here as well. But hopefully in the upcoming months we'll be able to facilitate another sort of round table where we can speak with you and with other organizers around working around migrants' right mobilizations. But thanks for coming on to the show, and hopefully we'll be in touch in the very near future.
Yeah, thank you very much. You know, and together we can make a difference in all this. You know, communicating like this is very important. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks a lot, Arnoldo. No problem. Thank you. Listeners are invited to visit the National Network for Immigrant and Refugee Rights website at www.nnirr.org.